the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Welcome into another episode of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Blake Matheson, and along with me here,
Eric Updike.
And we do have a Robert Updike sitting here in the room with us. I don't think you'll hear from him, but if you do, it might get him beat. So,
yep.
So hey, Robert, welcome in. Oh, he didn't even say hello back. What's going on at that Updike household?
He's something special.
He's got a tin of green army men here. I haven't seen these things in a while. One of the last times I saw these green army men that he's got here were, long time ago, back fishing at this place called Huck Finn in Laramie, Wyoming. That was my last memory of playing with some green army men.
Believe it or not, that was mine when I was a kid.
That's a hand-me-down tin of green army men there? Well, I guess not a tin. I thought it was a jar of supplements at first, but nope, green army men, so... All right, now that we're all entertained. Oh, also, before we get into stuff, let's not forget to shout out our sponsor of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. That's Dakota Rifle Company. You can find them in Dickinson and online at dakotarifle.co. They sell firearms, suppressors, even a little wee bit of ammunition there in their shop. So go check them out. See what they got these days. I'm sure they've got some kind of fancy stuff in there. I had those mini flamethrowers that one time. I still ponder those mini flamethrowers on occasion.
That sounds like trouble.
Yeah, but if somebody were to hand me one and say, this is yours for F-R-E-E, free, boy, am I taking that quick.
Can't go wrong with free, though.
Yeah, don't know if I'm going to spend my own money on one, but I'd take one off someone's hands.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know what? I'll just get my moaning out of the way here. Might as well, let's just start with that this episode, on episode 36. Upland season will partially begin, not the full upland season. I can't consider it the full upland season has been started because pheasant's not open yet.
Yeah, for sure.
So the mini upland season is open with a partridge, grouse, and a little migratory bird action in there, and the dove season open as well, got out. And where my moaning, my sadness comes in, losing the old dog collar this weekend. I'll just get that crying right out of the way here. That's a good at least $100 bill just laying out in some BLM land currently.
Dang it anyway. You've had bad luck here the last couple years. Didn't you lose your antenna last year out hunting?
I sure did. And you know, at some point I wonder when I've got to start faulting the brand for these things. Because I mean, look, I know I'm a dinkus. But how big of a dingus do you have to be losing this many things, you know? But maybe I should... Okay, the antenna, it obviously became loose at some point, which I don't think should happen. And I don't know, who's going to be checking the tightness of their antenna every... Well, I am now, but not before. And then the collar, I guess why I hesitate to say it's a malfunction is just because we were going through some thick stuff. And where I'm guessing he lost it, I think he was going through a thick clump of bushes and some spiny ones. And so if his collar got caught in there, I guess I'd way rather have a missing collar than a choked out dog. But I mean, I knew where he was. Like, I feel like it couldn't have been stuck that bad. But long story short, I don't know. It's probably a safety thing that it comes off like that if he gets stuck. But boy, I wish it was easier to find it when it falls off. Because that beep, very quiet. It's just got a beep on it. And I went back to that area after I discovered that it was not on him. So how it happened was, I got him in the truck at our second spot of the day and went to a third spot. And when we got out of the truck at the third spot, I went to check how tight the collar was, and it was gone. And I guess that the silver lining here is that I wasn't shocking him enough to notice that it was gone earlier than that.
That's good, though.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's the good thing. It's a well-behaved dog, so I wasn't using the collar enough to know that it was gone. But so I had driven a really long ways, and so when I went back to that spot number two where I'm pretty sure he lost it, I walked around for a couple hours in circles in the area. I thought it was gone, pressing that beep button, and it's just too quiet. I didn't have a hope of hearing it. But I do have a buddy that has a different brand of collar that I was talking to, and he was asking me if mine had a bright flashlight on it. And I really wasn't aware that there were brands out there that had flashlights on the collar part themselves. But boy, that would be helpful, being able to go after dark and turn on that flashlight and find it in the thick.
Yeah.
I mean, it would really have to be laying face down to not see the light. But long story short, for this round, I'm going to just try to buy the replacement collar piece, since I've already got the remote and you can do the add-a-dog collars. Yeah. So I'm sure that'll work as just a regular collar. But if I were to switch brands in the future, I think I might be looking at one that has either a louder, well, yes, a louder beep, but also that flashlight on it, I think would be pretty neat.
You know, I've always ran the sport dog shock collars, and I've had nothing but good luck with them, so I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know how it happened. I mean, I put it on the same way I did the whole last season that he wore it, and I just, yeah, best I can figure, it just got stuck on a tree limb just right and slid right off, or just came undone. The way I kind of looped the top, I should have cut. That's my other thing. I probably should have cut. It has so much extra length on it that you loop it back underneath itself, kind of, and I think that that loop is probably what got caught, and it came unlatched versus just slipping off. So I think that's another thing on this next one that I order the replacement. I'll be cutting off some of that extra collar because, I mean, he's not going to grow that much more.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Might gain a couple three holes in an off season here or there around the neck.
Hey, we all do.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's my sad news for this episode. Just getting it out of the way there. If you're out hunting some BLM land somewhere in the vicinity of South Sandstone Reservoir here in our area, and you happen upon a sport dog collar without a home, I know where it goes. So, yeah, there's my sadness. Other than that, just starting bird season here. I feel like I haven't been fishing in forever. I was just thinking about that before we sat down to do this episode. I haven't gone fishing in a while. Like, for me, over a week and a half or so, that's a long time.
Yeah, I hear you. And, but, you know, when you go down and look at Baker Lake, I'd be about half scared to fish on it. Have you seen how green it is?
Yeah, and the mats, the weeds all the way up at the top most places. Yeah,
You know, surprisingly, though, I noticed this weekend there's still people out there just swimming, having a great time out there. Like, oof, not
you know,
for me.
Honestly, I think I don't know if I think it takes a lot for me to be afraid of swimming. But yeah, I think that if you're trying to be a shore fisherman, that's pretty tough challenge out at Old Baker Lake and Sandstone. Both of those lakes right now, your hopes of being a shore fisherman are pretty rough.
Yeah, you're just gonna have to head for the big water, I guess, or the river. River's still an option.
Yeah, and I guess we're at the tail end of some catfishing time, and I thought about going to Fort Peck this last Sunday, but then I got the better of me when I thought I still need to do my wheel bearings on my trailer. That kind of gave me a little apprehension. And then Labor Day weekend, a little story time for you here. I'm gun shy going to big lakes on Labor Day weekend now, because I told my wife for our honeymoon we would go to Flaming Gorge Reservoir, and it ended up being on Labor Day that we planned that. Accidentally, we didn't realize we did that, but we showed up on Labor Day, and that was just wild. The Labor Day crowds at big lakes, not for me.
No, I'm with you on that one.
So, yeah, hopefully get out at least one more time on the boat and then do a few more fishing excursions. But it's just hard. Now that I've got a bird dog and bird season's here, it's pretty hard to do much else.
Yeah.
But big game season also coming, so you got some news on that front today.
Yeah, finally got my antelope tag in the mail. I was starting to wonder. My kids showed up here several days ago, and I was starting to blame Jamie for losing it. I guess it just finally showed up.
Nice. Yeah, it was behind you. Mine was a few days ago, too, that it showed up. And I was too excited getting out of the envelope. I gave it a little tiny tear on the side of it. And for a second, I was worried that I was going to invalidate my tag. But luckily, it was just a small tear, not anywhere important. But be careful opening your tags, folks.
Yep.
Don't be too excited tearing into them suckers. And don't use one of those. I was trying to use one of them. I don't even know what you call it. One of them letter opener deals. You know, it's like a magnet that goes on your fridge, and yeah, that almost did me in. Watch out, be careful.
So now the kicker is, though, that I struggle with every year is an antelope opener is on pheasant opener, so then I'm always torn. Pretty passionate about pheasant hunting.
Yeah,
it's tough.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
boy,
it really puts a hurting on the bird hunting.
That's almost like I tell myself, I'm just going to throw the old 30-06 in the truck seat, and if I see something out across the plains and I need to go take out the gun and jack a shell in on the way, then I guess I can do that. Otherwise, be out in the pheasant fields. I don't know, maybe a little...
It's a tough one, though. Then you're going to go out and you'll see a big buck, and then it'll get you all inspired, and then that's all you can think about. That's what happens to me. I get the old buck fever.
Ooh, I've seen some big ones lingering around this here area lately. It's got me kind of excited for the old goat season.
Yeah, me too. I need to get out and do some actual scouting and whatnot here one of these days. But
yes, scouting. I just like to go, just throw to the wind. Just go out there and see what's on the old land.
First Bambi you see, bam.
You know, I felt a little bit insulted. I had a buddy that wasn't even involved in our small deer conversation last year. I told him I had an either sex antelope tag, and he goes, so all the ladies out there better watch out. And I was like, what the heck, man? You're not even giving me the benefit of the doubt? He was like, well, would you shoot an antlerless one? And I was like, well, yeah, late enough in the season. And he was like, all right, I don't think you should be offended. And I was like, well, fine then. I just wish you would have had a little bit more confidence in my ability to shoot a big one.
Oh, first. You're going to get a big one. I got confidence.
I don't even care if it's a big one. Just some horns on it.
Yeah. It's got to be big enough to mount it, though, right? A European.
Oh, yeah. I guess I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah. I don't have any mounted critters at my house. So.
Yeah, we'll get do a European mount. Well, I'll even take you by the hand and show you. Or maybe Robert here. He's 8 years old. He can teach you how to do it.
Show us, yeah. I'll have him run the pressure washer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I said I didn't have any animals mounted, but I'm going to count my pheasants I've done myself. They're not your traditional mount, but I'm going to count those.
Yeah, they're cool.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You've been going to show me how to do that for years, but just... nothing.
Maybe this year will be the year. We'll sit down in the garage over a couple brewskis, and I'll show you the ways of working the pheasant out of his skin there.
Yeah. Speaking of pheasants, are you going to go out and shoot trap then for the Pheasants Forever shoot? Or?
Well, you know, I would, but it's looking like it's going to be a football day for me. Going to be probably doing some public address for some six-man football, I think, because that's a Saturday. So I think it might be some Plevna Cougar football action for me. But
you know, I get tired of your job always getting in the way of my fun.
You know, as long as it's the sport side of it, it's all right. Anything else we can talk a little bit extra about, but the sports stuff I'm fine getting in the way. That's what I'm here for. So but speaking of different things to shoot at and new experiences, so now that upland / a little migratory bird seasons are upon us, that means next after, along with big game, I'm also looking down the way a little bit here, duck season. I just can't let it go. I mean, I know that it's not as big of a thing here in our area as it used to be in other places I've lived, but I'm still buying the old waterfowl stamp and like to go get me a couple ducks a year. And as I was looking at the duck seasons, I found something that I was wondering if you'd ever be game to do.
Oh, boy.
Would you ever go on a snipe hunt?
I don't know, maybe.
Were you going to ask me like a real one or a fake one?
A real one or a fake one?
Have you ever done that? Have you done you've heard people reference like when you send people on a fool's errand snipe hunt, right?
Yeah.
So we're obviously not talking about that. We're talking about real snipe, the long beaked bird that lives next to water. And I was looking at, let's see, what did I discover? I wrote it down here. Duck opens October 4th, but snipe opened the 1st, along with dove, partridge, and grouse. So, and you can shoot 8 snipe a day per person. Some people even use dedicated snipe decoys, I learned looking this up. I don't know if I'm buying any snipe decoys, but I might slap on a pair of waders and go walking around some marshy areas. And I think I could do it once until I got stuck in the mud a bunch, lost a wading boot a couple times. Then I'm probably done. But might be something interesting. People talk about it's a challenging thing to shoot. They take off in kind of a crazy fashion when you flush them. So I don't know. It's kind of got my interest peaked a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I definitely wouldn't mind going out and doing a little duck hunting with you.
That's something we still need to do. We keep talking about that one. But the thing is, I really would like to take you decoying, but last season I only took the decoys out one time total, and it was not successful. All my stuff successful for ducks last year was all jump shooting, where they were in places I already knew they were at. You got real sneaky, snuck up to them, jumped them off the water, and shot them that way. And that's really the most success I've found waterfowl hunting ducks anyways here in Fallon County, in the Fallon County area, I'll say. So, we'll get you out there. Hopefully it's not just a jump shoot, but yeah, decoying's not something I've quite figured out yet. That goes back to that muddy thing with the snipe hunting that I'd be worried about. We've got a lot of mucky, sticky mud around here, and it makes decoying around it not a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, you'll sink up to your neck probably.
Yeah, and then you got your ducks way out there, your decoys you got to go walk out to get, and so it's a challenge, the old duck hunting in our area. But hopefully we'll get you out for that this year, and maybe some snipe hunting. And I just think like a place like Sandstone, that's super anywhere around here, that's such an underutilized thing. I bet you could count snipe hunters in our area on one hand.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'd probably make 3 if the two of us were to join in. I'm going to say there might be one guy out there, probably like a Henry Haystig out there on snipe.
The guy hunts everything.
Yeah. So, and I was kind of sad. Boy, he texted me today asking if I'd go grouse hunting with him, but he forgets that not all of us have the days off in the middle of the week. I appreciated the invite. It would have been awesome to go, but
he called and asked me too, and I had to tell him the truth. I was doing laundry, getting all my work clothes ready to go back to work.
That'll get you.
He gets one more day off at the end than I do. He's still off tomorrow. So.
Oh, man.
And I was a little sore. I was up at my brother's drywalling, so I was moving all over the place. Pretty sore.
But you went to a new place that I'd never heard of. Where'd you say you went?
Never heard of it. Jeez Louise. Fort Abraham Lincoln.
I thought Teddy Roosevelt was our guy around here. What's going on?
Well, he was. But, no, Fort Abraham Lincoln's where Custer's house was. You remember when you and I were out fishing and we came across that grave? Along the Ellerstone there?
Yeah.
That's where that guy was stationed. So we went and just kind of looked around at Custer's house and some of the barracks and whatnot and read all the plaques and read about that. I mean, I started reading out 39 days it took him to go from Mandan at Fort Abraham Lincoln to get out to the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Dang, that's a long float.
It said 600 miles. No, they horsebacked it and marched.
Oh, I guess on the way back, because that feller that, that passed away was being ferried back. So I guess I was just thinking of that.
One of the things I was reading, so some of the soldiers that got shot up there at that battle, they shipped them back to Fort Abraham Lincoln and had them in the hospital. Then once they died, they buried them there at Fort Abraham Lincoln. Then later on, they dug them all up and moved them back out to the Battle of Little Bighorn to bury them with all their fallen comrades. What about that poor old boy that was along the Yellowstone? He's still out there.
Out there by himself? Yeah. I don't know how I'd feel about that. If I had a sense of what was going on after my bones had been put in the ground, which I hope they're not. I just throw out there, I'm a cremation type of guy. But if my bones were to get buried, I don't know how I'd feel about getting interred just to be moved back to where I got shot. I don't know. I kind of liked getting away from there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess it's nice. It's a nice gesture.
Yeah, but no, it was cool. We went on some little short hikes, and I'd like to go up there and have a little more time and go on some longer hikes. It's beautiful. Went and checked out the earth lodges where the Indians used to live. Those are pretty neat.
Well, like a dug-in hillside type deal?
No, they build them above ground. They're pretty cool. It's hard to explain. They got a big center pole, and they got branches all the way around it, and they cover it up with dirt and mud, and just looks like a kind of like a hill out there is all it is.
Huh. I'll be darned. And still got some of the structure inside of them, huh?
Well, these are all... They rebuilt them that... But it said I rebuilt them in 1935, so they've been there for a while.
Dang, so something to check out for folks like myself that aren't well-traveled in our area. Oh, Fort Abraham Lincoln. How far is that from here?
Oh, it takes about 3 hours to get there.
Oh, okay, so a little bit of a jaunt. But if you're out that area anyways, go check it out.
So now I got to ask you, now that you've lived up here in the West and in the North Country, do you refer to distances in hours or miles?
Oh, I've become an hours guy.
I'm proud of you. Yeah. I figured you converted.
Yeah, I'm definitely, it's kind of, I just kind of expect everything is in, at the very least, half hour increments. There's not much within half an hour you're talking about. So,
no.
Yeah, I've definitely been a time guy. And, you know, my family that's bounced back and forth between South Dakota and North Dakota, they always said, as the crow flies, and I find myself using that more and more as well.
Oh, yeah. You're coming along. Are you starting to say oofta yet?
No. The one my wife always calls out still is every time I say it at my house, she still gets me on that's right uptown. Yeah. I thought I said it before I moved here, but she's convinced that was your influence. So.
I don't know. I'm always the influence, apparently.
Yeah, it'll get you. So, that's all I've been really up to. I haven't been on any of those type of fun adventures, just that first bird day. And I was proud of the dog just to give him a report card for fun. I'd give him a good, I was going to say B+. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give him an A-. And the only reason why I'm docking him from an A+ is just, I know it's been his thing, and it'll always be his thing. And it's a lot of hunting dogs' things is just, hates getting dove in his mouth, man. He'll run up to him, and he picks him up at first, but trying to get him to bring me a dove, he brought me one out of six back to my hand. He picked the other ones up, and it's nice to have him to find those tough-to-find birds. He still puts his nose on them and shows you where they are, but he's like, dude, those things drop way too many feathers in my mouth. I am not bringing them to you.
Right. I wonder what he would grade you, though. That'd be what I'd be more curious
about. He was upset. There was, I started out with some fairly good shooting. I went 3 for 3, my first three, but then my next two shots I missed, and he looked at me like, bro. What were you doing? And I felt real insulted. I didn't know he was capable of that kind of look. But he'd probably give me a B- or a C. And you know what? He'd probably grade me even lower. He'd be like, this dude didn't even notice my e-collar fell off.
Yeah.
Docking points. So, it was a good time.
What's your cutoff for ambient temperature for taking your dog out?
It's lower than I thought. That's a really good question. It's lower than I thought because yesterday morning, it was starting to get hot enough where I was like, okay, we're wrapping it up. I'm going to take Jeb home. We're calling it a morning. It was about 9:30 in the morning. And I was expecting to look at my phone at the weather, what the weather station closest to me said. I was expecting it to be like upper 70s, low 80s. And it said it was 67 when I looked. So, man, I think that a real sunny day like that, the mid 70s, I think, is a kind of, yeah, especially running them around. That's about it. Anything over 80, I really can't fathom keeping them out in.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, chocolate is obviously going to perform a little better than a black in the heat. I mean, but not crazy amount. Yellow Labs, that seems like that's where they shine, is in the heat.
Yeah, for sure. And
either,
I mean,
way, still wearing that fur coat.
Yeah, it's only getting thicker as the temperature drops, yep, overnight here. And I had, when we, so like I said, we had wrapped up the day and I was planning on bringing them back home, and we were going to stop at one more spot. And then that's when I noticed that collar was gone. And so since we went back out and I spent another couple hours looking around for that collar with him with me, I just kept finding shady spots, and we'd sit down and he'd lay down in the dirt all sprawled out next to me. And we'd sit there for a couple few minutes, letting him to kind of cool down some more. So I guess really important thing to be mindful of while you're bringing dogs out to this part of the country while it's still quite hot.
Yeah,
for sure. And we've heard so many people mention how many people end up at the vet with their dogs because of that heat exhaustion, and it's avoidable. I mean, I burned through 5 regular water bottles with him, giving him water. I carry one of them little pop-up water dishes in my vest, mm-hmm, and then I have at least 2 bottles in the vest as well at all times, that I'll go back to the truck and refill if we go through them. But yeah, he went through 5 water bottles himself out there.
Yeah.
So just keeping him hydrated, and just be mindful. He starts panting real crazy and sticking by your side, it's probably time to wrap it up.
Yep, for sure.
And, you know, earlier we were talking about Henry. Also, shout out Henry today. He did something that, this is one of those things so simple that I feel like I should be doing more in my life, and I don't for whatever reason. He sent me a picture of, you probably got it too, of what them birds he got today been eating, like what's in their crop, you know? Hmm. Again, it gives you an idea as to where they've been kicking around, and you might be able to apply that in the future. And that's just something, for me, when I'm cleaning birds, sometimes seeds fall out of the crop, and I'm like, dang it, I got seeds everywhere. But do I look at what they were, or mm-hmm, think of how that applies to where the birds have been? Nope, not as much as I should. So shout out Henry for kind of opening my eyes a little bit more to that. I probably should. And it's like that day we were out talking to Justin Hughes, the upland guy for Region 7 with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. He was talking about how much like pheasants and grouse eat grasshoppers. Another thing I never thought of. And sure enough, there were grasshoppers in that picture Henry sent. And he was saying that since the grasshoppers are not as many grasshoppers this year as last year. Boy, that tripped me up. Since there's not as many grasshoppers out on the plains this year as last year, they got to find different things to eat. And so there's little things that I don't really ever think about that now I've got in the old noggin. Huh. So, yeah, so be aware. Think of what them birds are eating out there if you're looking for them. And also the last tip that I'm going to give for this episode in regards to grouse and partridge hunting, I think I've fully come to the belief that any ground that's actively being grazed by cattle, the birds are pushed off of it. I used to think that wasn't so true, because I mean, I've shot grouse fairly close to places where cattle are grazing, but anywhere that's getting stepped on by cattle, I think, is not a birdie area.
That's probably
in
true.
In my experience. So the first place I went out to yesterday morning, I was really hoping there were some grouse there. I had seen some before kicking around in that area, and there were cows grazing, and I didn't kick up a single bird out there. So I got to put the blame somewhere. I'm blaming, yep, them grazing cows out there. So I know they need to eat too, but I just wish I would have been aware of that earlier.
Yeah, no, it does seem that way.
So, well, all right. Well, there's the opening of bird season. We'll have to get you out here soon to get some hunting in, whether it's a snipe or otherwise. And I think that's all I've got for you. Got anything else? Nope. This episode?
No. Nope.
Robert, you got anything? You got a word for us here? Let's swing the mic over to you. What you got for us?
Nothing.
All right. Well, there's the wise words of Robert Updike. And hey, good job being silent over there. You didn't have to be punished. I'm glad I didn't have to witness that.
Yeah, good job.
All right. Well, folks, this has been episode 36 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. We're sponsored by Dakota Rifle Company. They're found in Dickinson. You can find them online at dakotarifle.co. If you want to give them a call, here's their digits, 701-218-0064. And yeah, I'm your host, Blake Matheson. Along with me,
Eric Updike.
And we'll catch you on the next one.